Welcome to earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to be completing our three-part series that we titled Sanctification and Holiness. The focus of today's presentation is going to be doctrinal separation. Doctrinal separation is that separation that comes about based upon parting company with those that teach false doctrine. Might I also say that which Bible version is used is the strongest doctrinal separation issue. The King James Bible is the Bible that God has ordained for English-speaking peoples. All other versions are perversions. The Bible version issue itself is a topic unto itself that we will discuss later. Now, the word doctrine is mentioned 51 times in our Bible. The word doctrines is mentioned 5 times in our Bible. Doctrine is connected to biblical unity in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. And it's connected in a way that the one-worlders would not have you to have it connected. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature in the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The basis of doctrinal separation must be the Bible and not church tradition. For the Christian who is obedient to the Word of God, there is no unity in diversity. Let me repeat that. For the Christian who is obedient to the Word of God, there is no unity in diversity. True Bible unity can only exist in biblical truth. Biblical truth defines and sets the boundaries of pure doctrine. Biblical truth sets the bounds for fellowship and separation. We as Bible-believing Baptists cannot fellowship with or conduct joint ventures with Mormons, Reformed churches, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Methodists, Pentecostals, Churches of Christ, Jehovah Witnesses, Unitarians, Roman Catholics, Seventh-day Adventists, Episcopalians, Anglicans, Mennonites, Christian churches, Holiness churches, Eastern Orthodox churches, Christian Science, and Masons, and so forth. All of these groups hold to false doctrines that are contrary to what the Bible teaches. And I would remind you folks, and they would deny this, but Freemasonry is a religion unto itself. And might I say, one that does not line up with the Bible, period. A partial lift of the false doctrines held to by the groups that I just mentioned would include infant baptism, baptismal regeneration, baptism by sprinkling, transubstantiation, that's the Roman Catholic Mass, consubstantiation, that's the Lutheran and Anglican version of the Lord's Supper, Calvinism, Arminianism, which means you can lose your salvation, universal salvation, soul sleep, investigative judgment, Sabbath keeping required, sinless perfection, tongues abuses, women preachers, prayers to and for the dead, purgatory, no eternally burning hell, prayers to the saints, prayers to Mary, Mary worship, Mary as a co-redeemer and co-intercessor, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, the Assumption of Mary, the priesthood, both celibate and non-celibate, and also the so-called Melchizedek and Aaronic priesthoods of the various cults that are out there, the veneration of relics, the use of icons, what I call idols, sacramental salvation, Pope is Vicar of Christ. Holy Ghost is not God. Jesus is not God. Lucifer is the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ordaining of Sodomites. Salvation is by grace plus works, indulgences, penance, modern Bible perversions, holy laughter, Holy Ghost glue. Blood of Christ cannot atone for certain sins. Wives will be given and taken in heaven. All will be saved, and so forth, and so forth, and so on. Just one false doctrine after another in that list that I just read off to you. All of these false doctrines, folks, are heresy. That's a one-word description of it. And most people are reluctant to use that phrase here in 2026. But those are heretical belief systems. Titus, and here's our commandment out of Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Our Bible also says again in Ephesians chapter 5, which we've spent quite a bit of time in this series, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Among all the apostate denomination we mentioned are individuals who do not believe in the virgin birth, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of the first five books of the Bible, or the fact that they are, in fact, history. They do not believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so forth. The sad fact is that the majority of Baptist churches are apostate. They hold to doctrines that are blatantly opposed to sound biblical doctrine. Their teachers and preachers will not make a stand against sin and worldliness. They will not preach repentance or hell. Easy believism or easy prayerism has run amok. They are opposed to biblical separation because it would not be seeker-friendly. Their music reeks of the filthiness of the flesh and the world. Most Baptist churches hold to any Bible but the King James Bible. These Baptists are being spiritually dumbed down by their modern Bible perversions and their worldly music programs. Folks, the selection of Bible versions and music applies to the doctrine of separation. They are a must. Shorts, miniskirts, women in pants, halter tops, and other sexually revealing clothing is the order of the day in most Baptist churches. Baptist churches are ordaining women pastors, women deacons, and sodomites to the ministry. Most Baptists are in severe need of an otologist to treat the sores that have come up on their ears because of them scratching itching ears. They will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. Our Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The Baptist byword for today in the year 2026 and for at least a half a century before that is compromise. For example, I quote the following from the Friday Church News Notes from Brother David Cloud from Way of Life Literature. And he's quoting something that happened at a Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting. Here we go with the quote. Speaking at the Southern Baptist Convention's annual meeting in June 2004, SBC President Morris Chapman warned against separatism. In his message, The Fundamentals of Cooperating Conservatives, he said, "There is a road wrongly taken by many on our left, the road of liberalism, but there is also a road wrongly taken by many others on our right side." It may not be as treacherous as the road of liberalism, but it is just as disabling to the convention. What is that road? It is the road of separatism and ecclesiastical methodology that devalues cooperation in favor of hyper-independence. In the past, we have avoided this road as fervently as the road on the left. If Southern Baptists steer too sharply toward the right, we will end up on the road of separatism. Southern Baptists have never embraced the methodologies of separatism. Folks, that is heresy and apostasy. Those are not genuine Bible-believing Baptist churches. And the reason they're not is they are compromised to the point where they will not stand for biblical separation. I didn't say it. He said it in his statement to the Southern Baptist Convention. They have huge problems in Southern Baptist churches. They are about as weak as they come. Here, in the statement made by that Southern Baptist pastor, Morris Chapman, we have the leader of one of the largest denominational churches in America denying one of the major doctrines of the faith. Separation is a biblical commandment that is as old as God's orders to Israel not to mix with the inhabitants of the Promised Land, lest they should become a partaker of their idolatry and other wicked deeds. Now, M.H. Reynolds of used to be called the Fundamental Evangelistic Association had this to say about the issue we're discussing today. Some of the disturbing changes which are taking place in the lives and ministries of many Christian leaders and organizations are: 1, a changed attitude in work and worship, 1 of irreverence, lightness, and frivolity, an increase in emphasis on clowns to amuse rather than crowns to be won. 2, a changed attitude toward the importance of sound doctrine, where fellowship becomes paramount and correct doctrine takes a back seat. 3, a changed position in theological matters, one which may be described as flexible rather than fixed. With such a flexible position, further changes come thick and fast. 4, a changed emphasis in ministry, one which endeavors to build bridges into the camp of the enemy rather than to build walls to protect the sheep from the wolves. 5, a changed scale of values which extols quantity rather than quality. Following this policy, some very impressive programs lacking a solid biblical foundation will inevitably be blown about by every wind of doctrine, leaving the door open for even further and more drastic changes in the future. I say amen to that. Brother Reynolds was exactly right about his criticism of our churches. And folks, I've read from articles. This is the year 2026, and the articles that I have read to you, one was from all the way back in June of 2004, and the one on Brother Reynolds would have had to have been somewhere around the time, that time also. I don't have it before me. But I can tell you this, things have gotten a whole lot worse than what they were when those were written. The church in America is about as apostate as it can get. Now, doctrinal separation by biblical definition must not be based on the persons of men. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, and it cannot be based on matters of Christian liberty. That's Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Neither can they be based upon human conflict. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 state the following. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Very good questions, aren't they? And then we have Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falling, or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And then we got Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, as the ecumenical movement pushes toward the one world church, we must not become ensnared in its clutches, because they are as wicked as hell, and in fact are straight out of the pits of hell. The ecumenical movement is the child of Satan. The word ecumenical means universal. Does that ring a bell for you folks? It should, because Catholic also means universal. We are instructed in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, 2 John verses 8 through 11, and Revelation 2:2, and Revelation 17, to separate based upon doctrine. Now let's go and look at those passages of Scripture. Romans 16, verse 17, states the following. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Folks, it says to avoid them, to mark them and avoid them. If their doctrine is not right, you stay away from them. Then we've got 2 John 8 through 11, starting in verse 8 of 2 John. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have brought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Very strong, folks. Read and heed. Revelation chapter 2:2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them to be liars. Now, I included Revelation chapter 17 because it is about a religious Babylon at war with the Lamb of God. Many of those in the ecumenical movement will use Romans 16:17 to accuse anyone who would stand for doctrinal separation for causing division. The problem is that they mark us for causing division. However, they cannot mark us for offenses contrary to biblical doctrine, which is the qualification for the marking. We can only be marked for standing for biblical truth, which ultimately means that we must stand apart. Thank you, Lord. Paul compares the final state of those who are marked according to sound doctrine and those who are marked according to false doctrine in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. Let's go and read that passage. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. Now, this makes it very clear that we are to separate on the basis of doctrine, especially when considered in the light of Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Both the false prophet and the brethren who walk according to sound doctrine are to be marked. That is, they are to be separated. Brother David Cloud makes a very good point when he says many in the ecumenical movement say that we should only separate based on major doctrines. That's heresy, folks. Then he makes the following statement, how do we know what is major anyway? And I would say amen to that. Who are we to say what is major and what is minor? God is the author. Dare we edit his work? David Cloud goes on to identify four areas as a starting point for the basis of doctrinal separation. First, he identifies doctrine concerning the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, and salvation, with the scripture reference being 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Let's go there. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. Notice that he fears that they might bear with false doctrine. Ponder this question for a few moments. What is more important, doctrine or salvation? The doctrine of salvation is the most frequently perverted Bible doctrine. Secondly, Brother David Cloud identifies doctrine regarding prophecy and future things, such as the resurrection and death of the saints, referred to in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Starting in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. Thirdly, we have doctrine regarding the church as a basis for separation. And we cite 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, and 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 through 21. Now, 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Then we've got 1 Corinthians 6, verses 13 and 14. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we have 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Now, we can take the 13 chapters in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and rip apostate Christianity apart. It is in such almost total apostasy those pastoral epistles bring them under the condemnation of the Word of God, because they have forsaken and rejected the Word of God. And some of the things that we see out there, women preachers are not allowed. That's a big thing in a lot of churches today. They allow women preachers. There goes every major denomination I can think of other than the Catholics. This includes Pentecostals, Methodists, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and yes, Southern Baptists. Since the Catholics will not let their priests, bishops, cardinals, and popes marry, they must be thrown out also, because according to the Bible, all ordained church leaders must be the husband of one wife. There's no celibates there, folks. Finally, the doctrine of holy living is another basis for doctrinal separation. Let's go and look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Verse 3, If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Note that it demands separation. Paul told Timothy to withdraw from it. And Brother David Clown closes out his presentation by stating this: these references show that the true apostolic basis for separation is much broader than a few major doctrines. And I would say to that, amen. It is as broad as the Bible is. Now, finally, we're going to look at the idea of practical separation. Our concluding topic in this study is the subject of practical separation. Practical separation is the use of church discipline to separate ourselves from that Christian brother or sister who will not walk according to the teachings of the Bible. We are to put that Christian that is in open rebellion out of our congregation if they will not obey the plain teaching of the Bible. This type of discipline is not to be used to punish a Christian who occasionally falls short. Remember what the Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The discipline that we refer to in practical separation is that is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15, 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Now, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 13 read this way: but now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let me repeat that again. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Then we have 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. And then we've already read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, but we'll read it again for emphasis. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. There's that commandment again, to withdraw from those folks that will not obey the word of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prescribed the method for dealing with a brother that would not repent in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. Let's go and read that. Verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. This is the method for church discipline that should be included in every set of church and constitution and bylaws that is written. And that concludes our study of the doctrine of sanctification and holiness. It is my sincere prayer that this study has helped any who would read and study it to grow in the grace of God. It was a real blessing both for me to prepare it and to present it. Once again, the teacher learns more than he can teach in the class. Praise God for that. Thank you for joining us.